The Ticket. Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050, WTKA, online at WTK.com. Sam Webb, Ira Weintraub on the other side. We spent a good portion of the last hour talking about the NBA Finals. We'll come back to that a little bit later. But, yeah, anytime there's an Urban Meyer story out there, you know, I mean, it grabs my attention. I imagine it grabs your attention too, Ira. And so, you know, there was some thought, some question about whether or not he would be getting back into coaching. He is telling folks around him, and his wife is telling folks around them that he's done, that it's over, not going to happen, not going to be able to do it. That it's the game has changed too much with NIL and with the transfer portal. So he couldn't coach the way that he coached before. Meaning, but I take not the NIL portion, Ira, because he does come out and say he thinks basically this is a new word for cheating. He said, that sounds like cheating to me. He said that in an interview, like, wow, really? Really, dude? It's legal. What's legal now to do? Sounds like cheating to you. Give me a break. But he's saying he would have to change his style of coaching if he were to come back into coaching right now. And Ira, that's like one of the few honest things I've heard him say. Like, I buy that. Like, if you've ever heard anything about how hard to paint he went on dudes in his program to the point where, you know, guys would leave if they could, he would have to adjust things. He would have to adjust things seriously in the day and age of the transfer portal, I think. And he said he's just not ready to do that. Now, would money change that with a team that was stacked? Let's say Saban retired and Alabama came calling and some ready-made winner like that. Would he say no? I'm skeptical. But just to come in and try to be a difference maker and put a team over the top, I think those days are over for the reason that he said. I actually buy this. I actually give this some, I give the truth factor of this one some high marks, because I think he's being honest on this part, on this one.
Yeah, I mean, if he can be honest, I guess it happens every once in a while, right?
Yeah, once every blue moon sun shines on the dog's ass.
Yeah, something like that, Sam. So, Sam, this is the thing that gets me. It kind of goes back to conversations you and I have had in the past, which is about coaches say, oh, I could never have coached in the social media era. I could never have done this. I could never have done that. But now you have to adapt or you have to move out.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you, man. It's one of those things, and I'll read you his exact quote, you know, kind of talking about the you know, the inability or the unwillingness, I won't say the ability, the unwillingness to adapt to, you know, how things go in today's college football, especially with what he calls cheating, which I find awfully ironic to hear Urban Meyer say that. But his cheating accusation, he said, our NIL collective is just a fancy word for cheating. That is the case, according to Meyer. This is on the Dan Dockett show. He said, I don't know. I'm not saying it's all that way, but from my understanding, it's a fancy word for cheating. When I hear that word, talking about NIL, I kind of cringe right now, and I hear the stories behind it that they're going to go to donors and boosters and ask for a lot of money and then decide who gets that money based on ability level, which I think is 1A of rule of NIL. You can't do that. So, Mr. Weintraub, don't you think he would know a thing or two?
I mean, technically, he's like not wrong, Sam. Technically, what he said there, this reminds me of Jose Canseco writing Juiced. He wasn't wrong. You don't necessarily like who's saying it, but he's not wrong. And Urban Meyer in this context isn't wrong. I don't like who's saying it, but he's not wrong.
I hear you, man. It's funny hearing it come from him. And then on the part about his coaching career. And whether or not he was going to do it. This was the Columbus Dispatch. They reported on a conversation between Urban and Billy Horschel. That name would sound familiar. I don't know who Billy Horschel is.
Golfer, Sam. Golfer.
Yes. And so there's the memorials outside of Columbus, right?
Yes, Grace could tell you all about it.
Yeah. So, so of course, Urban Meyer would be there. Anyway, Horschel said, who's a former Gator, he said, Horschel said that when they bumped into each other last month, Meyer told him he was done coaching. Meyer said the job took too much out of him. Plus, the college game has changed so much with NIL and the transfer rules that he would need to change his methods to be successful. That and the three-time national champion, which includes 2014 title with the Buckeyes, is enjoying his TV gig with Fox and loves being around his grandchildren, they reported. Yeah, I think it has more to do with having to change his way, having to change his coaching style. Like he couldn't do some of the things that he did before. Not to mention the, you know, the scrutiny on his conduct as a coach. It would be much greater than before as well. That's what's not mentioned here. Right.
No, so, more dancing with the girls at his bar.
Yeah. I mean, they were willing to look past the oh, I'm sick, but now I'm not. But this is a little bit different. I mean, they saw you in the bar all hugged up, you know, basically bringing the strip club to a steakhouse.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
I don't know if you can avoid having to answer questions on that. So, no, I think it's the first thing, though, that he knows that in this day and age, roster attrition would be a huge issue for him. And is not ready to deal with that, especially when you can just sit up and talk about it and get paid a handsome fee for doing so. So I actually buy that as an honest moment for Urban Meyer. At any rate, it is 8:18 on a Monday morning. Speaking of coaching, it is official. Now, we talked about it being official before, but it's like official because the Pistons announced it, that Monty Williams is the new head coach for the Detroit Pistons. This is a huge move for all the reasons that we've talked about before. But to hear Tom Gorris, or to read Tom Gorris and what's the AD's, not the AD, but the GM's name, Troy Weaver, to see them kind of talk about what it meant, what they were thinking when they went and signed the 2022 NBA Coach of the Year, a guy who improved his team's record. So, you know, they improved by 15, 16 games his first year on the job. You know, he set it a record. He went out and set a record, had his team set a record for wins, most wins in franchise history, took the team to the finals, developed superstars, and they fired him, right? This seems like the impetuous decision of a big money guy who just got, hey, it's a new toy, it's a new plaything, right? I guess it's not so much of a plaything. You got to spend so much money on it. So it's an expensive plaything that Matt Ishbia has now, and he was able to discard this guy. And what's one man's trash is another man's treasure in this regard. And I think that would have been the case for a lot of different franchises, because Monty Williams is fully prepared to sit out, as we talked about before, and decided that this was an offer that he couldn't refuse. Exactly what we talked about. Make the offer be so enticing that people would question his sanity for turning it down. That's the kind of, and your commitment would not be in question. It would be so clear that you wouldn't be me concerned about the man selling the team because your deal was so gargantuan, right? And that's exactly what the Pistons did. So from Monty Williams said, a week ago, I was not sure what the future would hold. But after talking with Tom and Troy, I was excited hearing their vision for the Pistons going forward, had a thoughtful plan, and I'm so appreciative of the emphasis they placed on the personal side of this business. They showed tremendous consideration for me and my family through this process. They also showed a commitment to success and doing things the right way. As we discussed the team and expressed our collective goals, I realized that this would be a great opportunity for me to help a talented young team and build a strong culture here in Detroit. This is obviously a special place with a deep basketball history. My family and I are looking forward to the opportunity to be a part of the city and organization. You had to appeal to his, you know, his the bruising of feel. You had to appeal to the fraying that he probably felt with the entire process. He just sat and built the team, and they fired him on a whim. It's not like there was this long track record of misgivings or failure. I mean, they had a setback this year, sure, but injuries were a part of that. You traded away whatever depth. Not make no mistake, you know, Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, that team in that form was not going to win the title. They had to make a move. I'm not criticizing trading for KD, but when you trade for KD at the midway point, he comes in, he gets hurt. He was already hurt. He comes in. He gets hurt again, misses 10 more games. So putting all of that together, weaving that product together into a cohesive unit, then you lose your point guard on top of it. I mean, there was every reason to think that there were problems other than Monty Williams. And yet that's what they went for. And they go and hire Frank Vogel. No disrespect to Frank Vogel. Maybe Frank Vogel can help them defensively. Maybe that's the thought process, but I don't look at this as an upgrade. And so if you're a guy like that, who you just built the team, it's not even just about the Pistons. It's just about the process, about the league, man. I mean, to think that they could just cast me off there firing guys left and right who have championship pedigree. Budenholzer gets fired. Nick Nurse gets fired. A guy like that, you're going to have a special appeal. You're going to have to tug at his heartstrings in a way that is convincing. Money is a big part of that. Like, money gets you to the table. Money shows your seriousness. But you have to talk a whole lot about vision, a partnership. Like, you know, more than not your boss, your partner. We're all partners in this. I think that had to be the appeal. I think that's the only way that you can really appeal to a guy like this with options. His biggest option was I could sit on my behind and get $7 million a year the next 3 years. So they did a great job. Yes, the big check, biggest check in history, huge part of it, make no mistake. But that alone is not it, because he was going to get a big check. Maybe not this big, but he was going to get a big check. And hell, he was going to get a big check for not doing anything. And so Troy Weaver talked about it. He said, Monty represented the ideal prototype for our young team. But we didn't expect him to be available. When he suddenly became available, we jumped at the opportunity to speak with him. That doesn't mean that the others in our process were not strong candidates. They were not, by comparison. That's me jumping in. He says they were. But Monty is the prototype. Indeed, he is. He's done what the Pistons are looking to do.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
And, of course, Tom Gorris saying after spending some time with Monty, it's clear that he's found a unique balance between achieving victory at the highest level while at the same time nurturing a culture of growth, development, and inspiration. I'm beyond excited. This is a huge win for us. Man, that Sparty's all right, Ira. That Sparty is all right. You know, it takes something for me to say that. But this Sparty put his money where his mouth is. This Sparty held out. Because I tell you what, I think this could have very, if Tom Gorris was a totally deferential, hands-off owner, I think Kevin Ollie would be the coach for the Pistons right now. But for his unwillingness to move, I need to talk to him again. They need to come in again. He was not sold on Kevin Ollie. He was not sold on Charles Lee. He was not sold on Jaren Collins. And hung around long enough for Monty Williams to become available. They didn't know he was going to pop up. It's not like he stalled waiting on Monty. As you just heard Troy Weaver say, we didn't know he was going to be available. They saw it because he didn't like any of those guys. It's like, talk about you got other good candidates. You didn't have another candidate close to this. And so because he held out, because he was like, man, these guys just don't do it for me. Put him in position for a guy like this to come open and for you to do everything in your power to go land him. That's just outstanding. Just outstanding. All right. So good news for the red, white, and blue in Detroit. Now the question becomes.
And teal, Sam, and teal.
Yeah, and teal, and green, and black. I mean, what color? And they got the rainbow in Detroit now, right? So now the question becomes, what do they do with this any space they have in free agency? We're going to talk about that with DeAndre Hopkins coming up, because an interesting note on DeAndre Hopkins moving over to Detroit on the other side, moving over to football on the other side. And then what do they do with this number five pick? You know, you got cap space and you got a number five pick. You know, does that put you in a position to maybe make a key trade? Maybe make a key trade that will help put you over the top. Stephen A. said, hey, just with this move, he thinks the Pistons are a playoff team. That's not me saying it. I speculated they could be. Stephen A. said, hey, they hired Monty Williams. I got him as at least a play-in team right now, just on the strength of this move. That's how big the Monty Williams addition is. We got to get to a break. Be back on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching the Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.